Okay, thank you, Brother Farrell. Open your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Well, I'd have to say Brother Plato's sermon was short, sweet, hard to beat. Amen. Well, I've enjoyed the preaching, enjoyed the meeting, enjoyed the good sermons last night, Brother Hardin, Brother Stennett. And then today, those preachers preached. I appreciate the good message.
Yes.
I was thinking about Brother Hall. He spent a lot of time talking about old, being old. Brother Hall's not old. Brother Hardin is the oldest man here probably. And I'm up in years. So Brother Hall talked about being 70. Did you say you're 70? Well, I was 76, the 6th of this month.
Amen.
I've been preaching 55 years.
Amen.
And tomorrow we'll celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary.
Amen.
Amen. So really, a lot of you people, a lot of you folks, you're still young.
Amen.
Amen. But I thank the Lord for His good blessings. Thank the Lord for the good preachers. I was thinking the other day, you know, I've been encouraged a long life's way by men of God.
Yes, sir.
Who stood true, preached the word, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate Brother Farrell Shepherd. He's my friend.
Amen.
He comes to our place and preaches, and I'm thankful you let me come. Allow me to preach. And so, open your Bibles, Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 and read down through verse 33. Acts chapter 17, begin with verse 22. Now, you know the background of the scripture. Paul is in Athens. And while he's there waiting on his companions, he's preaching the gospel. And of course, there was those ecumenical boys sitting around, the Epicureans and the Stoics.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting to hear some new thing.
Right.
That sounds like religion.
Yeah.
They're always waiting to hear some new thing.
Yes, sir.
And if it sounds spiritual and supernatural, they'll jump on that bandwagon. And so these Epicureans and Stoics are sitting around, and Paul preached to them, and they said, well, we're not going to argue and fuss about it. We're just going to go ahead and build you an altar to your God.
Yeah.
But Paul said that won't work. He wouldn't allow that. By the way, if you read that where he said his spirit was stirred within him. He saw what was going on, heard what was going on, and his spirit was stirred within him. And so they said, we'll rear an altar to the unknown God. And so Paul took the opportunity to preach. And so he preached to them the gospel. And then also he preached a subject that's not very popular, and that was repentance.
Amen.
But let me begin reading in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needeth anything, sin he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And has made of one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, Paul's talking about this unknown God they don't know.
Right.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by arts and man's device. And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. I want you to go back and look at verse 31. I'm going to use this verse kindly for the text, the subject. The Bible said, because he, God, has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. I want to use that verse and preach to you on God's appointed days. When you think about it, we're living in a troubled world, confused world. A lot of folks don't know which way to go, what to do. But I'll tell you one thing that keeps me going and keeps you going, and that is that we're not in the dark.
Amen.
We have the Word of God, and therefore we're not in the dark, and therefore we have the Word to tell us all we need to know. So when you think about it, the reason that we're not discouraged, the reason that we're not depressed, and we're not defeated is because the God of our salvation is an all-wise God.
He is.
He's in control. He's on his throne.
Amen.
And everything is all right.
Amen.
Now, I like that.
Yes.
And I live by that.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you do, because God is on his throne and God is in control.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar learned that, you remember? After they spent his time out there eating grass and like an animal, he came to this conclusion, and that is the true God, Jehovah, ruleth the affairs of men.
Amen.
And he does. God does rule.
Yes.
And I'm glad for that. Well, I want to read a few verses just by way of introduction, and I'll not be long, I hope. But in Isaiah chapter 44, I'm going to read some verses to you concerning God. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Paul said to this crowd, he said now, you don't know this God. You call him the unknown God, him I declare unto you. But aren't you glad you know him?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're acquainted with him?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad you can say he's my God?
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8, let me read this good verse, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8. The Bible said, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I told thee from that time, and declared it, yet are even my witnesses. Listen, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any.
Amen.
Now that's what God said.
Yeah.
To his people. And then also in this same book, chapter 45 and verse 22, the Bible says this, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else.
Amen.
That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps you going.
That's right.
Our God is in control.
Amen.
And there's none like him. And none beside him.
Amen.
Well, if he will, at chapter 46 and verse 9, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for his word. Now also in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe it is chapter 40, in verse 28, let me turn back there and read that verse. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding.
Amen.
I'm glad that God is on His throne.
Yes.
And I'm glad the God that we know, the God we serve, is the eternal, everlasting, all-wise, all-powerful God.
Amen.
But I want to preach just a little bit on God's appointed days. I read the book of the Revelation, you do too, and well, there's going to be some hard times in this earth. During the days of the great tribulation, during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the time when it looks like that no flesh will be saved. It looks bad. But if you read Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible said in all that, the Bible said this, but the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter how situation, doesn't matter how bad it gets, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth.
Amen.
God's appointed days. Paul said, for God has appointed a day in which He'll judge the world by that man, Christ Jesus. Did you know that God had an appointed day for His Son to be born?
Yes, He
did. Nothing God ever does happily. And nothing God ever does on the spur of the moment as far as His plan.
Right. Amen.
Our Lord just didn't happen to get here.
Right.
But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God prophesied and predicted that one day the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent.
Amen.
Now God had that day planned.
Sure He did.
And God had that day appointed. And as sure as God is all wise, eternal, our Lord would come at the appointed time,
Amen.
At the right time, on the right day. In Luke 2, verse 11, for unto you is born what? This day.
Right.
What day? The appointed day.
Right.
The day that God appointed. Now the devil tried all his power to keep that from happening, but he couldn't do it because
Amen.
God had an appointed day. In the fullness of time,
Amen.
God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Right.
Aren't you glad for that?
Yes, sir.
God had appointed a day for His Son to be born in this world.
Yes.
And thank God He is born right on time.
Amen.
So God had appointed a day for Jesus to be born. And He was born of a virgin. We don't have to preach on that very much. You know that. I know that. I believe that. He is born of a virgin.
Sure He was.
But also, God had appointed a day not only for His Son to be born, but He had appointed a day also for Jesus to die.
That's right.
I mean, that was an appointed day.
Yes, it was.
I mean, our Lord didn't get caught and couldn't help Himself.
Right.
Our Lord wasn't backed up in a corner. But in God's plan, in God's program, the all-wise God, the almighty God, had a plan and a day appointed that the Son of God would die for the sins of the world. He had an appointed day.
That's right.
Our Lord didn't die early, and our Lord didn't die late.
Right.
Our Lord died right on time.
Right.
For God had an appointed day when the Son of God would die.
Yes, sir.
So I'm talking to you about this God that Paul said those learned men didn't know. And in our day, there are a lot of learned men don't know. But I'm glad I know and you know that this God that's everlasting, eternal, there's none like Him. He's in control. He ruled up the affairs of men. And everything is in order. And everything is all right. So I'm not going to worry, and I'm not going to be defeated, and I'm not going to be depressed. I'm just going to declare that God is in control.
Right. Amen.
Somebody said, well, you believe God is sovereign? Do I believe it? I know it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So our Lord had a day appointed when the Son of God would die. Let me read some scripture in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Could I read it to you? Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now that was planned of God.
Sure it was.
The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world.
Right.
So it'll do us good to kindly have our pure minds, but we're remembered, stirred, and be reminded that the God we know, the God we believe in, the God of this Bible, the God of our salvation, is on His throne. He's in control.
Yes.
And everything is running right on schedule time.
Right.
I believe that.
Yes.
Somebody said, I wonder how this election's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But if it doesn't matter how it turns out, God will still be God. He'll still be eternal. He'll still be in charge. He'll still be on the throne. And everything will be all right.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean we ought to stand around with our hands tied and not vote and not stand for what's right and not contend for the faith. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, here's what I'm saying. Why would I want to stay up night, worry all night about the election and about the condition of my friend the world, though I'm concerned, when God is on His throne, God's in charge, and God is ruling the affairs of men on the earth.
Right.
Now don't let that bother you. Just stay in the boat and don't jump out. In other words, it'll be fine.
Yes.
So God had an appointed time, appointed day when Jesus would die. Is that not true?
That is
true. You know, our Lord said, I think somebody mentioned it today, our Lord said, you know, they tried to kill Jesus several times.
Right.
You remember He went to Nazareth and he told them who He was and, in other words, put the Word of God on them and they got all upset, led Him out of the city, going to throw Him over the bow of the cliff. But you know what the Bible said? The Lord slipped away.
Yeah.
You know why He did? His hour had not yet come.
Right.
His day of crucifixion had not yet come. So God had a day appointed when the Son of God would die on a cross for the sins of the world. And the devil couldn't stop it. And the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't stop it. God ordained it. God planned it. And God also took care of it. And Jesus died right on time.
Amen.
Amen. Not only did God have appointed a day when Jesus would be born, an appointed day when our Lord would die, but our Lord had an appointed day, God did, when Jesus would get up.
That's right. Amen.
Now let me read this verse 40 right here in Acts chapter 10. The Bible said, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. They said that deceiver said that He was going to get up. But they said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put a seal on that tomb and make sure those disciples don't come and steal Him away.
Yeah.
And they did. They put a seal on the tomb. He is in the tomb. But you know what happened? You know what happened, don't you? When the women got down to the sepulchre, there was a messenger from heaven.
Yep.
And that angel said, Why seek ye living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen like He said.
Amen.
See, God had appointed day, and that day wasn't the fourth day. It wasn't the fifth day.
Right.
It wasn't the second day. It was the third day.
Amen.
That He'd be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
When our Lord died on a Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
And they put Him in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours. Now this Good Friday business won't cut it. Around Easter time, these Baptists, in other words, are so liberal and modernistic. In other words, they have their Easter egg hunts, and my friend, they have their Easter services, Good Friday. I want to tell you something. I have nothing to do with Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and Palm Sunday. Every Sunday is the Lord's day. Every Sunday is the day I worship. Every Sunday I go to church, and I don't have a sunrise service once a year. All these Baptists are so religious. They won't go to church half the time all year. In other words, they lay in, miss Sunday school, miss church. In other words, unconcerned about God's work. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to have us a sunrise service. And we're going to get up and show we love Jesus. And we're going down with the Methodists and the Episcopalians and all the rest of them. And we're going to have us a sun. He got up before the sun got up.
That's right.
That's right. You know why He got up? God appointed it. Yep. You know why I got up? God ordained it.
Right.
You know why I got up? Because God said He would get up the third day.
Amen.
I like what our Lord said. You know what our Lord said? He said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again.
That's right.
They thought He was talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about His body.
Right.
Destroy it. And in 3 days, I will raise it up.
Amen.
And then He said this. You know, a lot of folks deny the book of Jonah. By the way, this fellow wrote this book, Killing Jesus,
yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. Now here's what he said. I cannot believe that a whale could swallow a man. Well, Jesus believed it.
Sure he did.
And Jesus said it.
Right.
And I wouldn't buy His book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
And thank God, after 3 days and 3 nights, He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You know why? God and the appointed day.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is God had a day and He couldn't be stopped, couldn't be hindered. Our Lord's born on time, lived on time, died on time, got up on time. God had appointed a day when our Lord, in other words, would get up, and He did get up. But God's got an appointed day. By the way, I could just go on. Our Lord had an appointed day for Jesus to go to heaven. Our Lord didn't go to heaven early. He ministered to those disciples 40 days, and then the Bible tells us He went to heaven.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I mean, this God that crowd didn't know, Paul said, I'll declare Him unto you.
Amen.
He made you. He created you. He made the world and everything therein. He's in control. He's in charge.
Amen.
He's on His throne. He's not a dead God. He don't make an idol to Him. He don't dwell in temples made with hands. Thank God He dwells in these bodies. And my friend, we are controlled by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So our Lord went to heaven, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that God had a day for our Lord to go to heaven. He had a day for Him to be born, had a day for Him to die, had a day for Him to be buried, had a day for Him to get up, had a day for Him to go up.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to this good verse. In Acts chapter, I believe it is chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible said, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld Him, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight.
Amen.
I like what the Bible said. Our Lord went through the first heaven, through the second heaven, back to the third heaven, where He came from. And by the way, if you're saved, one day you'll do that.
That's right.
You'll go through the first heaven, go through the second heaven, land right into God's third heaven, and be with Him forever and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I've flown some in the first heaven. Never have flown in the second heaven. But one day I'll fly through it all.
Right.
And you will too. What I'm talking about is this. We're living in troublesome times, dangerous times, difficult times. The devil will do everything he can to discourage you, defeat you, depress you. But let me tell you something. Thank God we have the victory. We got deliverance. We got the Almighty God who lives forever. And God said, if I be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
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 Let me give you this. I'm hurrying. God had an appointed day, He had an appointed day when Jesus died. That's fulfilled.
Right.
He had an appointed day when Jesus would get up. That's been fulfilled. And an appointed day when our Lord would go up. That's been fulfilled. But He's got an appointed day when He'd come back.
Right.
And the Bible said, no man knows the day or the hour but the Father only.
Amen.
You see what He says?
Now,
some of these prophetic preachers years ago got all caught up about the alignments of the planets, and they had it all figured out when the Lord would be here. In other words, what time He'd get here and where He'd come. Well, He hadn't got here yet.
Right.
But I got news for you. There's a day He will come.
Yep.
And God's got that day appointed.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, He'll be here on time.
Yep.
He's born on time, lived on time, died on time, got up on time. He'll be back right on time.
Amen.
He that shall come will come and not tarry.
Amen.
God's got a day.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know what day it is, and you don't know what day it is, but God's already got it settled. God's already got it fixed, and it sure as our Lord's born on time, lived on time, died on time, got up on time, went to heaven on time. He'll be back right on time.
Amen.
You say, when's he coming? I don't know. But I know one thing, he's coming.
Yes.
How you know he's coming? The eternal God told me.
That's right.
How you know he's coming? The God can't lie told me.
Right.
How you know he's coming? Because this God of our salvation told us in the Bible that he'd come.
Yes.
The Lord is coming. He'd come tonight in the rapture.
He sure could.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe he could come in the rapture tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think there are two phases of coming of the Lord. I know you believe that. The rapture, the revelation.
Right.
He'll come in the rapture and get us out of this whole world. Thank God he'll come back with us and rule in this world.
Right. Amen.
I like that Revelation 19. You like that?
Yes.
This old Antichrist, his cohorts has got the little nation of Israel backed up in a corner, and they feel like, boy, we got them now. I'm telling you right, we're going to annihilate Israel. But you know what happens? They'll look up.
Yep.
And they'll do what? And they'll see what the Lord said. Behold, the Lord come with power and great glory. He's coming out of heaven riding a white horse.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you'll be riding one behind him.
Amen.
You say, you really believe there'll be real horses? I believe it because God said it.
Amen.
And I believe it because it's true.
Yes, sir.
Thank God we're going to glide into the Mount of Olives. He's going to fight that battle of Armageddon. We're not going to fight it. We're not going to mind having warheads. We're just going to say hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
When he burns that harlot church and
yes.
that false church
yes.
that deceived multitudes, we're just going to say hallelujah,
right.
hallelujah, hallelujah,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Dr. Seidler preached that sermon on the four hallelujahs.
Yes.
Praise God, it's going to be a wonderful time. We meet the God, my friend, of our salvation, the God that knows all, can do all, and God is still on his throne.
Amen.
I'm just going to stop right here at my text. God's got an appointed day when he's going to judge the world. Do you know that? For God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world for that man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to judge the world.
Yep.
Now that this crowd that's ungodly, heathenistic, socialistic, humanistic,
yep.
they don't believe that.
Right.
Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow you'll be dead like a dog or a hog. You know what's wrong with this generation? This younger generation have been brainwashed in these liberal colleges and universities and higher schools of learning that they're nothing more than an animal.
Right. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you something. We're much more than an animal.
Yes.
And there are no dog heavens.
Right.
And there are no cat heavens.
Right.
So you can go ahead and put them out there in a cemetery and have a little service over them and hope you'll see them, but they done gone. I get in trouble sometimes preaching along that line because I got a lot of folks think more of the cat and the dog than they do people. You might well say amen. I saw a little old lady here a while back. She's concerned about her animal, and I thought, yeah, and you probably had 3 or 4 abortions.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
They'll kill babies, and boy, you better not harm a cat or a dog.
Right.
When I was growing up, if you had cat and she had kittens, you didn't want them. You just took them down to the river and drowned them.
Yeah.
But you can't do that now. You say, I don't like that. I wouldn't be cruel to animals. Okay, I'll move on off of that. I know when hit a stump, and I know all about that. But God's got a day where he's going to judge the world in righteousness. By the way, now look at me, Baptist. Talk to me. I'm telling you, that cat and that dog you got is not human. And I'm telling you that, my friend, they're not important as a human being. Amen. Oh, me. Oh, me. I got a motel. Might be this one down here or somewhere. And they said, no pets in the rooms. Okay. Oh, let me get on. I got to get the judge. Judgment. God's going to judge. Now, this political crowd, they don't believe that.
No.
Some of the religious crowd don't believe it. But God's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Right.
The other day, and I'm trying to be careful, but the other day in our newspaper at home, they arrested a woman for sodomy with an animal, a dog. But two men can kiss in public, hold hands, get a marriage license, and run for office. Now, what's the difference? Sodomy is sodomy. And I just read, I picked up a book back in 1966 on strangers in our midst. And I was reading it the other day, looking at it again, and in that book, the writer said, 50 years ago, they'd have put sodomites in prison. God's going to judge them. Obama and the Democrats and some of the compromising cowardly Republicans, they may put their approval on it. They may have them on the platform so they can get a vote. But God hates it, and God will judge it, and God will judge them. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, no, not God, and obey not the gospel. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's
right.
Amen. God has an appointed day of judgment. For it's appointed men once to die, and after this, the judgment of God. And by the way, they are not going to escape the judgment.
That's right.
No way. They're not going to escape it. They're going to meet it. Now, we Christians are going to meet the judgment seat of Christ. But this unbelieving world, they're going to meet God. By the way, you like that verse in Philippians where the Bible said God gave him a name that's above every name, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's the Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what our Lord Jesus said? My Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. This Jesus was born a virgin, died a sacrificial death, buried in a barred tomb, raised on the third day, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. One day he'll be back. They're going to meet him.
Amen.
And he's going to judge them in righteousness.
Yes.
Folks, tonight, we're in the last days.
Yes, we are.
We're in days of apostasy.
Yep.
We're in days of falling away.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get any better. And you better listen to me now.
Yeah.
Evil men seduce is going to wax worse and worse.
Right.
And we're not going to have a worldwide revival.
We'd
have a local church revival,
yes,
individual revival,
sure,
and pray that God might give us a national revival.
Amen.
But there's not going to be a worldwide revival.
Right.
Not according to Scripture. So all you and I can do is just keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on.
Amen.
You know why? Because we've got an eternal God. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Come on, Brother Shepherd.